Turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, please. A couple weeks ago, my wife and I were watching the old movie channel, and they were showing Karate Kid, where Mr. Miyagi and Daniel-san were talking, and Mr. Miyagi told Daniel-san to do same movement, wax on, wax off. You guys remember that thing, right? And he told him to do it day in, day out. What the Daniel-san did not know was it was the basic movement that he was going to learn in the martial art. That reminded me of my own martial art class that I used to take when I was a kid. My instructor, our instructor, did the same thing to us. There are a bunch of hyper kids and they want to do anything but the boring basic things. But they told us to do the same basic things day in, day out. He wants us to be so used with that particular movement that we don't have to think when we get into the sparring or the actual fighting. So they can be second nature. Spiritually, we need to practice. Spiritually, we need to practice what we already know. Let me say this one more time. We need to practice what we already know, not something we need to know special. Understand me? You guys know a lot. If you coming to our church for more than a month, you heard enough gospel that can come out of your pore. You know more here within a month than some people in third world country, that they don't hear the gospel for entire lifetime. Then why don't we practice what we know? You don't need to know anything more fancy to practice what you already know. So we have a four wise lesson that we should heed from the Apostle Paul. It's kind of summarizing. That's what we are going to learn. I'm quoting another martial art artist in the late Bruce Lee. I do not agree with his Eastern philosophy, but I like what he says. Knowing is not enough. We must apply. Willing is not enough. We must do. Isn't that a good one? Starting at the verse 15 of chapter 5, Ephesians, let's stop and pray. Father, we are so privileged in this country where we can come together with the freedom to worship you. I don't know how long we are going to have this freedom, but Father, while we have this freedom, let us worship you, adore you, and follow you. Even if our freedom of faith in Jesus Christ be taken away, they cannot take our faith in you away from our heart. Let us practice what we know, what you already taught us. Remind us this morning. Love you with all of our heart and mind and soul, and love our neighbors as ourselves, in spreading the good news of Jesus Christ to others. Father, we pray for the President Obama, that he may turn his heart to you. Nothing is impossible to you. Father, soften his heart, that he may see the light. And we pray for our troops, our police officers, sheriff deputies, and federal agents, and firefighters, those who protect our lives and properties. Father, we are asking you to watch over them, and especially the one who is in the harm's way. They call it downrange. Father, we are asking you to watch over them and bring them back to their families, to their homes. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Would you underline the circumspectly and underline redeeming the time in verse 16? Because underline next phrase as well, the days are evil. Whenever you see the word therefore is what? You need to know what is there for, right? So here, therefore, is connects us to the Paul's previous thought, and we are now the light of the light in the Lord, and we should walk as children of the light, and we are to please the Lord. That is our goal in verses 8 and 10. That's already mentioned there. It's what we studied. Since God has enlightened us and made us His light in this world, we need to connect ourselves with the care rather than live carelessly and walk wisely instead of foolishly. I ask you to underline the word circumspectly. And this word comes from the two Latin words that means the looking around with the intention to pay attention. And the Greek word for it is akribos, and carries the idea of a precision and accuracy. In other words, this is not just walking, going, not paying attention, but rather walking and looking carefully the surrounding. In our military term, they would say, pay attention to your surrounding. And see where you're going. And see that they said, pay attention to little details. Because those little things might turn into the ambush site. After all, we're living in the enemy territory, do we not? To grow in wisdom in Christ means making the most of our opportunities. The time provides. The Greek phrase for the redeeming time includes the idea of rescuing it from the waste or abuse. Just as Christ redeemed us and rescuing us from the futile existence and giving us a new life empowered by the Holy Spirit. So we now have the privilege of using our time for the Lord and the Lord's purpose while the world wastes their limited time in sins. In other words, God wants us to reclaim the time. Doesn't mean we can earn it back. No, that's not what I meant. That means we use the time wisely. You see, if you lose money, in your stock market or in your business, you might be able to gain it back, even more. But once you lose your time, guess what? You will never, ever get the time back. And sometimes I wonder if I have to ask some of the people. One person told me, I'm not going to tell that particular person's age. That person told me he played a game, video game, for 8 hours all day. 8 hours. I was wondering, so what did you accomplish? What did you accomplish with that 8 hours? You just waste 8 hours of your life. Of course, I'm not talking about that we have to work for God day in, day out, in every moment of our waking life. That's not what God expects us to do. We humans are prone to extremes. We tend to either waste away our time, like I mentioned, procrastination, and poor choices and idleness, and drive ourselves and others mercilessly and never relax and rest and play. Interestingly, both extremes leave God out. Did you notice that? Because the first resists His purpose for us. His purpose for us is loving Him and loving others and doing His work and living for His glory. But this person chooses not to do anything. second person who is driven and disregards the joy of his life, his love for us. See, we can overcome the first extreme by, there's that D word, discipline. Prioritizing our time and directing our energy into what matters. Discipline involves a sacrifice. There's that S word, sacrifice. But it's also a form of taking care of ourselves. It helps us accomplish the dreams God gives us and protect the things our heart values most, like our God, the relationship with our God, and relationship with our families and friends. And those things are more important than things. You can ask any wealthy people at the end of their lives, and you ask them, if you do all over again, what would you do? They will say, I would work less and take care of my family more. The second extreme that they were driving other people crazy and driving themselves crazy, I'm guilty of that. I have a tendency to do that kind of thing. And that can be encountered with a discernment. Recognizing we are not an engine or machine, but a human being created for the relationship with God and family and friends. God had to use a 2x4 to whack me on the side of my head. God has fashioned us for the refreshment in beauty and the restoration in sleep. And some of you think that you cannot sleep because you're wasting your time. No, you need sleep to be restrained. To be re-strengthened and renewal in laughter. Even walking in the ministry can be too much unless we learn to take the time off, time to time. First lesson was time. The second lesson is the decision making in verse 17. Go there, please. Therefore, do not be unwise, but note the word, understand what the will of the Lord is. Please note the word understand. It means that it requires our own effort. It's not just there for anybody to see. No, it requires for us to dig in, to find out, to research. It requires effort, determined effort, and conscious effort from our part. See, understanding suggests that using our mind to discover and do the will of God. Too many Christians are somehow thinking that knowing the will of God is some sort of mystical thing. And well, knowing the will of God is so hard. Really? Is that difficult? If you have a clear thinking, you will find the will of God for your life. But a lot of people really want to know the will of God is they want this hocus pocus and crystal ball thing so you can know what's on immediate future. What's my stocks going to be like? So what's going to be the number for the lotto so I can go buy that thing? Buy that. By the way, don't buy lotto tickets. That's gambling. They want to know that kind of thing so they can manipulate the future. Folks, knowing God's will is not some looking at the crystal ball. I call that thing voodoo theology. Don't go there. Knowing God's will for us should not be a guessing game. You with me? Knowing the will of God should not be a guessing game. It is clearly written in the Bible. We don't have enough time to go through about knowing the will of God here. I'm going to give you a quick 3 points that mentioned in the book of Ephesians that we already started and we are going to. First one, the will of God is to unite everything in heaven and earth under the one head. That's Jesus Christ. That's mentioned in chapter 1. Second one is the will of God is to accomplish this unity through the reconciling people to himself and to each other by the sacrificial death of his son in chapter 2. We already studied that. And the third point is, will of God is to glorify in our lives His grace, which makes the reconciliation and unity possible. It's all over this book. Am I making sense to you guys? And you're thinking, well, that's not my will. That's not the will of God for me. It is. It is. Like I said, what you have in mind is the will of God for you is you're thinking about what's my immediate future. Your immediate future is loving God and serving Him as a Christian. And the rest of them will fit in as God takes care of His people. Two human extremes often arise when it comes to the will of God. First, run ahead of Him like a speeding stallion. I was thinking about the cartoon character. Do you guys remember Speedy Gonzalez? Andale, andale. And running around all over. I haven't seen that thing for a long time. If you agree, if you know what I'm talking about, you're just aging yourself with me on that. And or to resist Him like a stubborn mule. Number one is caused by the lack of patience. Any of you guys have a lot of patience? Spare me some. I don't. Number two, being like a mule is a result from the presence of pride, fighting against God. Both extremes flare up when we respond in God's general will for all Christians, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbors as yourself, and spread the good news of Jesus Christ to others, and to feel joy that comes from giving, and to experience the empowerment that comes through the obedience, and to know the strength that comes from tests and trials. Since you all want to know the will of God, understand the will of God, and here are some steps you need to take. Number one, we pray. Okay? You don't read the horoscope to know the will of God. We pray with an open mind, open heart. Number two, we read the Word of God, His Word, Bible, and prayerfully and intelligently. Some people say, well, I don't understand the Bible. Well, that's why you come to church. We seek the counsel of the respected Christians. However, when you, listen, hey guys, wake up. I know. By the way, if you think I cannot see you, closing your eyes, guess what? I can see you. If you can see my closed eyes, I can see your closed eyes too. When you hear, when you get the answer from the respected Christian, always bring their answer back to this book. If their answer goes against this book, guess what you do? You ignore them. You don't ignore this book. You hear me? Test every spirit, the Word of God says. Fourth step, we wait and listening to His voice in the church teaching. And while you worship, God may speak to you through songs and in wise counsels. Fifth step, very, very important. When we discern His will, we what? We what?
Obey.
I cannot hear you.
Obey.
There you go. And you do as you said. We may not get everything right from the beginning. We may not know the God's will, and we may step into the wrong place. But if we have a right heart, God's going to direct us to the right direction with His mercy, His grace, and with His love. Now, third lesson is a control in verse 18. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled, note the word, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with God, with in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always, all for all things to God, God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Since I was a child, I encountered many drunkards. My uncle, from my mother's side, he used to come to my home and throwing temper tantrum and threatening my mother so he can get the money from her. And then that's for his next drink. Then I encountered a prison yard full of drunkards. That's where I met Pastor Al. We were hanging around at the prison. Yeah, we are prison buddies, in and out all the time. He's a regular jailbird. No, we were doing the prison ministry together. See, that particular yard was known for DUIs and child molesters and rapists. And they literally waste their lives because of alcohol. And then I meet these people, victims, innocent victims. They mangled the body, mangled wreckage and of cars on the street as I arrived in the scene with my deputies. And I find them. And then there is a drunkard. He doesn't even have a scratch. I'm going to go on the side step for a while. If our federal government is really concerned about saving lives from next shooting events, that shooting crimes are going to happen, by banning the weapons from the law-abiding citizens' hand, maybe they should do something else. 10,000 people get killed by DUI every year in this country. They should ban all the alcohols. And not only that those 10,000 people get killed on DUI on the street, their broken families, their broken lives all over this country because of alcohol. Why don't we ban the alcohol too? That's only fair. Okay, I'm off the political soapbox. When people are drunk, the things they say usually benefit no one. Their words are either gobbled, slurred nonsense, or angry vulgarity. When we are controlled by the Holy Spirit, however, our minds are clear to see all that Christ has done and is doing, and we overflow with the praise that lifts the heart of others as well as our own, and that honors God. Rather than having drunken, bitter, and sad heart, and we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit with a joyful gratitude. Amen? You see, be filled with the Holy Spirit is a command. It's not a suggestion. It does not say, if you don't have anything better to do, be filled with the Holy Spirit. It starts with a be filled. That means it's a command, folks. And they expect us to obey. By the way, command is, in this case, be filled is a command, is in plural. That means it applies to everyone. The original Greek word is in plural. Not only that, it's a present, the verb is a present tense. It means keep on being filled. It's not just one time. It's not once in a blue moon special occasion deal, but it said be filled, keep on being filled. That means you open your heart to God to be filled by Him. Also, verb is a passive. It means that we cannot fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit because we are not capable. He's the one who can fill our heart with Himself. By the way, Bible never ever tells you to drunk with the Holy Spirit, like some charismatic Bible teachers says. So you see one of the Holy Laughter movement. Have you ever heard that Holy Laughter movement? It was one of those silly charismatic thing. And they act like they were drunk. And the people ask, if you ask them, why are you acting like a drunk? And they say, oh yeah, I'm drunk with the Holy Spirit. And you can ask them, where did you find that verse? And they will come to the Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. He said, no, go back there, read that thing. it said, do not be drunk with wine, but be, which is a dissipation, but filled, be filled with the Spirit. It doesn't have to be drunk with the Holy Spirit, does it? When a believer of Jesus Christ is filled with the Holy Spirit by being obedient to the God's Word, as God controls his life, he experiences a deep, deep joy. In spite of all the surroundings, the circumstances he's in spite of the trial he's in, he can feel that deep joy. And he's not afraid to express the glory of God and get to have a beautiful self-control that is in really God in control. Amen? So joy and the self-control are among the two aspects of the fruit of the Holy Spirit as mentioned in Galatians chapter 5. Keep your finger there and go to one book before. Just one book. Chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, what is the next word? Is. It's a singular. Is love. Fruit of the Spirit is love. This is, if you put this correctly, it should be fruit of Spirit is love, hyphen, and then explain the rest of them. Joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such a thing, there is no law. Let me ask you a question. Here's a cup, empty cup. You tell me, what's the best way to get the air out of this? Exactly. If you cover this and suck the air out, you will break this glass. But if I just simply fill it up with water, all this air will be gone. You follow? That's the same thing. The secret of a victorious Christian life isn't trying to suck out one sin at a time, but to be filled to the brim with the Holy Spirit. Am I making sense to you? There is no room for anything else. If you fill yourself, your heart, to the brim with the Holy Spirit, you will sin less. No sense in wasting good water. Last lesson, submission, verse 21. Submitting to the higher authority only. Does it say that? Submitting to what? One another, to everyone, in the fear of God. This verse provides a natural setup for the next one about the family and friends and workplaces Apostle Paul is going to use. See, this is beneficial to keep it in here, so he left it here. If all of us continually fought to do and have things our way, where would we be? Nowhere. Especially within the body of Jesus Christ, we need to exercise this lesson, submitting to one another. I submit to you, you submit to me, and you submit to the next one as a body of Jesus Christ. I often find the pastor acting like they are the dictators. Somehow they're thinking that God is dead and they left them in charge. And then I find that some elders and deacons, and they're the one with the committee, and they hire pastor and fire pastor, and they tell pastor what to teach. And I call them demon-possessed church. It's a little shy from demon-possessed church. And the congregation, who could care less about what's happening in the church? They don't do anything when it comes to serving God. They don't do anything in serving one another. Even there is a need, they know they don't do anything because it's not my problem. Why are we? Why the Christian having so many problems? No, let me rephrase that. Why do we have so many problems? Even in our church, Because we are not submitting to one another. You with me? Is it too close for comfort for you? See, the verb to submit is a hupotasso in Greek, and it occurs 23 times in Paul's letters. I'm sure that it was not difficult for the Paul to come up with this particular word because he was, after all, he was chained to a Roman imperial Praetorian guard 24/7. So to him, this using this particular military lingo is very easy. Submitting to the rank. Can you imagine the church? Entire congregation actually practice submission to one another with a love and respect out of fear of God. And when someone in our church needs help, and people from the church would line up to help, and there would be not one shortage, and when we need nursery help, people lining up, I'll do it. And when we have a church work day, every available person will show up. I can only dream about that kind of thing. When I ask for the church work day, same old people show up. And the rest of them, oh, it's a football game is on TV. Really, record it. Oh, wow, it's quiet. Maybe it's too close for comfort, huh? Mark chapter 10, verse 42. Do you know what Jesus said about that? You remember what was the knowing the will of God, the last step? No, the last, knowing the will of God, I give you the five steps, right? The what was the last one? When you hear, say it again. Okay, you're just going to do that, right? Verse 42, chapter 10. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, you know that those who are considered the rulers over Gentiles lorded over them, and they and their great ones exercise authority over them. Verse 43. Yet it shall not be so among you. And whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desire to be the first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life for a ransom for many. Verse 14 of chapter 13 in John, please. Verse 14. If I, then Jesus speaking, your Lord and the teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. That means serving one another. Folks, by nature, we want to promote ourselves, but by Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit enabled us to submit ourselves. But the wise person, the one who acknowledges God in all his or her ways, will gently honor and serve others. You want to be mature in the Lord, you serve others. By doing so, who is honored? Christ is honored. So since we learned the four lessons, let's have four applications. Number one, the time we have on this earth is limited, given by God. Use it wisely for the Lord. Don't waste on the worthless and ungodly things. I'm not saying watching Super Bowl is not an ungodly thing. Second application, pray for God's will in our lives. Receive it from His Word. And what? Obey it with all of your heart. Third application, fill our hearts and lives with His Holy Spirit presence so that joy may overflow out of our lives to others. Fourth application, when we are submissive to one another, our Lord Jesus Christ is honored. Let's stand up and pray. Close your eyes, bow your head, please. If you came to our church and thinking that this is just church thing, and you may encounter a little bit different things. We honor God here with through the Word. We take Bible seriously. If you don't know Jesus Christ according to Bible, that means unless you're born again, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. Born again means born from above, spiritually born. You might be physically alive. If you are not born again, you are spiritually dead. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how long you've been coming to going to the church. What matters to you is your spiritual condition with God. Are you born again or not? If not, you need to be born again today, right now. Today is the day of your salvation, the Bible says. And you may wonder, what do I need to do? Do I need to knock on somebody's door? No. Simply say, Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as my Savior and Lord. All you have to do is just do it. Say that with all of your heart and mind. And then you are born again. If you have done that, I want you to do something for me. I want you to raise your hand as our water expression of that commitment. Do that now. God bless you. God bless you. Keep your hands up, please. Keep your hands up high. Okay. All right. Two ladies, I want all of you to repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner. My sin has separated me from you. I realize that I'm a sinner. And I sinned against you. But I turn away from my sin. I believe that Jesus died for my sins and rose from the dead. So I ask you to be my Savior and Lord. Please come into my heart. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. Thank you.